The impeachment probe into sexual harassment claims against Governor Andrew Cuomo of New York is nearing an end. Today, lawmakers in the New York State Assembly said Cuomo has till the end of next week to submit evidence in his defense. The development follows a report from New York's Attorney General's office this week. It shows that Cuomo harassed 11 women and created a toxic work environment for women. On Tuesday, Cuomo insisted he had done nothing wrong.
I want you to know directly from me that I never touched anyone inappropriately or made inappropriate sexual advances. I am 63 years old. I have lived my entire adult life in public view. That is just not who I am. And that's not who I have ever been.
Meanwhile, Cuomo faces calls to resign from political figures, including President Biden and other top Democrats in New York and around the country. Cuomo's the latest high-profile political figure to be caught up in a sexual harassment or assault investigation. Others include former Presidents Trump and Clinton, Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh, former Minnesota Senator Al Franken, and former Alabama Senate candidate Roy Moore. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you think Governor Cuomo of New York should step down? Should he be impeached if he does not? What do you think will come out of this? How does the case against Cuomo stack up against those of other elected leaders in recent years? And why do you think some politicians are able to survive accusations or scandals and others don't? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas at WPR.org. Laura Brown is an associate professor and the director of the Graduate School of Political Management at George Washington University. She's the author of multiple books, including her most recent Amateur Hour, Presidential Character, and the Question of Leadership. She studies political scandals. Laura, welcome back to the show.
Thanks so much for having me on. It's great to be here today.
What are your thoughts on this specific case now with Governor Cuomo in New York and the state attorney general's civil investigation?
Well, I think what's truly unfortunate about this case seems to be something that has been a more recent development in these political scandals. And it is that the politician in question is not... They appear to not have any shame. There is no sort of public apology. There is no admission of guilt. And with that, as we have seen in the past, there are usually resignations. While, you know, we can get into some of the specifics about some of the individuals you mentioned, it is the case that just in the recent history of the U.S. Congress and in the wake of the Me Too movement, we saw a number of members of Congress get wrapped up in sexual harassment scandals. They admitted their wrongdoing and they did resign or retire from their position. That is not the kind of stance that Governor Cuomo is taking. And I think that is one of the most tragic developments in our Democratic Republic.
Often when we have accusations of sexual harassment against a political figure, it's something that comes out in the media and there are accusations. A politician can try to dismiss it. Oh, it's a I said, they said sort of thing. Here we have the attorney general of the state doing this extensive investigation, as I mentioned, civil, not criminal investigation, but having a lot of details, a lot of corroborations of these accusations. Does that make this different in your mind than other cases we've seen where we might not have seen that level of investigation?
Well, certainly I think it makes it different. We have a substantial amount of credible evidence of wrongdoing and potential illegalities. You know, we have various jurisdictions in the state of New York that are looking into possible criminal charges. Much of the time when we're talking about what generally us in political science think of as sexual misconduct scandals, many of those have been consensual extramarital affairs. And those fall into a slightly different category than something that is, in fact, potentially illegal and certainly problematic for the workplace itself.
Talking to Laura Brown from George Washington University, looking at Governor Andrew Cuomo of New York, an investigation into multiple accusations of sexual harassment. Now we have, as you say, Laura, at least at this point, he seems to be digging in. Governor Cuomo does, not making any indication that he's thinking about resigning. No talk about whether he's going to run again for governor, as had previously been expected. It may be out of his hands, though, a possibility of impeachment in New York State. Can you talk about that possibility? Fellow Democrats willing to get on board, it looks like, with the idea of impeachment.
Well, I think the Democrats are taking the right stance. The reality of impeachment is that it is a political decision. And by political, we do not mean just partisan. What we mean is that it is about whether or not somebody is fit to hold office. You know, some of the conversation around impeachment always assumes that there has to be a breaking of the law, but that is not the case. When we talk about impeachment, we are talking about an elected official's moral authority, the perception of the wrongdoing or the transgression, and whether or not that person should be in a position where they have power and they are entrusted with the public good, right? So I think one of the things that is, you know, to the Democrats' credit in New York is that they are saying this kind of behavior, even if it is not illegal, it still rises to the level of serious wrongdoing, and we should take a look at what Governor Cuomo has done. And he is, if judged not fit to hold office, he will be removed from office in a trial after the assembly would impeach.
Well, you mentioned prominent political figures from New York. Here's one of them, Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer, who is from New York, saying here Cuomo needs to step down. Here's a listen.
No elected official is above the law. The people of New York deserve better leadership in the governor's office. We continue to believe that the governor should resign.
Can you talk, Laura, about what we've seen over the years when it comes to the partisan response to these accusations? The temptation, I think, if you're a Republican, sometimes might be to take the side of your embattled Republican colleague. Same for Democrats, for a Democrat. Have we seen that change over time?
Well, what we have seen change over time is the nationalization of the scandal and how that nationalization of the scandal then becomes about the party's brand at sort of a larger level. So the reputation of the political party now seems to be on the line as much as the specific individual or politician who is involved. So in the past, it was the case, especially when you were talking about, say, incumbent members of Congress, national parties would sort of assume that politics was local and they would leave it to the local jurisdictions to decide whether or not to reelect that person in their primary and then whether or not that person should stand and win for reelection in the general. In today's world, we see speakers of the House pressuring members of Congress who have had transgressions to retire or resign. We saw many of those in the 115th Congress at the height of the Me Too movement. And then what we also see are sort of more of these statements from people like Senator Schumer, from President Biden, urging these individuals to essentially stop being the story about their political party. But it is also the case we have seen more and more individuals who are embattled, who are embroiled in these scandals, saying that they don't want to step down and that they don't want to run for office. So some of this has become just more nationalized, but also more contentious and more of a fight about who is protecting the party than in the past.
We're talking about sexual harassment claims facing politicians. What makes some leaders step down and others hang on to power? This week, the big story, Governor Andrew Cuomo in New York, and a report from the Attorney General of that state documenting a lot of accusations of sexual harassment and corroboration of those claims. Lara Brown is with us, Associate Professor and Director of the Graduate School of Political Management at George Washington University. You could join in at 800-642-1234. What's your reaction to the Andrew Cuomo allegations? Do you want to see him resign? If he doesn't, should he be impeached? And do you want to bring up other situations where prominent political figures have faced accusations of sexual harassment or assault, or even where cases of consensual extramarital affairs may have affected a politician's career? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're talking about sexual harassment in politics. A report released this week by the New York Attorney General says Governor Andrew Cuomo harassed 11 women and created a hostile work environment for women, allegations Cuomo has denied. He's under pressure, including from President Biden and many other fellow Democrats, to step down. Cuomo, the latest in a long list of political figures facing accusations of sexual harassment. Lara Brown stays with us, Associate Professor and Director of the Graduate School of Political Management at George Washington University, author of multiple books, including Amateur Hour, Presidential Character, and The Question of Leadership. Political scandals are one of her areas of expertise. You can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Do you have thoughts on this particular case, Governor Cuomo? Should he resign from office? Or do you have a past case that you'd want to bring up? Do you have a question about? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas@WPR.org. Lara, are there cases in the past where we've seen politicians dig in comparable situations and come through politically unscathed?
Well, this is where it's very interesting, because the nature of the scandal and the type of media coverage, kind of how big is it and how broad is it, really do matter. So we can think about the fact that in 2018, there were, in fact, two members of Congress, Duncan Hunter Jr. and Chris Collins, who were, in fact, indicted for financial scandals. They were seen as essentially misusing funds or using their influence to help to create basically conflicts of interest. And what is so interesting is both of them chose to run for re-election. Both of them won. And what is even more fascinating is that when they eventually did leave Congress, as President Trump was leaving office, he chose to pardon them for their scandals. So financial scandals have very different kinds of dimensions to them. And politicians are much more often able to get away with any kind of financial scandals rather than, in fact, sexual misconduct scandals. And certainly when it comes to sexual harassment, it's even more difficult.
You mentioned earlier the Me Too movement that came out of cases in the entertainment industry, a wave of accusations of members of Congress leading to resignations. Was that a blip, or did Me Too, do you think, mark a permanent or ongoing change in the world of politics?
I think what's important is that the Me Too movement made a change in all of the workplaces more generally. So it is true that my colleague and I recently investigated the 2018 congressional midterm cycle to see if there really was a significant statistical difference between that year and other years. We did not find a statistical difference, but we did note, and we do talk about the fact that there is kind of a different workplace culture. There is a different expectation, and that There has been kind of a sea change in how members of Congress, at least, appear to be behaving toward their staff. It would seem that Governor Cuomo did not learn that lesson, that the times have changed, and that this is not just a generational issue.
Let's bring on our callers now at 800-642-1234. Diane is with us in Madison. Diane, hello.
Hi there. So Donald Trump, what about him? He didn't have any morals. He had lots of allegations and some proven ones. Nothing happened to him. He set the moral compass down onto the ground.
Diane, thanks for the call. A lot of people have pointed toward that example, Laura.
And look, I would agree that he is the model for a politician denying any wrongdoing and sticking it out and saying to his political party, stay with me or not. And the reality is that the Republican Party is what allowed President Trump to survive his many scandals. Had the Republican Party turned on him, I don't know that he would have been in the place that he was. But we are in a situation that's very different with Governor Cuomo. You can see that the Democrats are saying it is time for Governor Cuomo to go. He is not fit to represent the public any longer. And I do think that this is a difference right now between the two political parties in their stance toward misconduct.
Thanks for the call, Diane. We'll go now to Keith on the line in Madison. Keith, hi.
Hi. I'm wondering whether the Democrat Party's love affair with Bill Clinton helped him stay in power and retain pretty much a huge amount of goodwill even after his impeachment. And I'm thinking that maybe Governor Cuomo, as you suggested, didn't learn the right lesson and thinks he's another Bill Clinton, which he clearly is not.
Keith, thanks for the call. And another example I think a lot of people are pointing to these days.
Yeah, I think Bill Clinton is a little bit different in that his popularity actually went up during the Monica Lewinsky scandal. Many people, not just the Democratic Party, but in fact, the public, forgave him for what they saw as a consensual extramarital affair. And I don't think that that is all that surprising in that Americans also voted for Bill Clinton after Jennifer Flowers and that extramarital affair had been revealed. So I do think what is true of Bill Clinton was also true of Donald Trump, that their behavior before they were in the White House helped to also inoculate them for bad behavior when they were in the White House. Because expectations really do set the stage for scandal.
Do you think, thanks for that call, do you think people have thought back on that, the Clinton, especially the Monica Lewinsky situation, and thought, okay, maybe consensual, but this older seasoned politician, a young, brand new intern, a big power imbalance there, it's more creepifying now the more you think about it down the road.
Yes, I do think that many more people, including many Democrats who defended Bill Clinton at the time, in the wake of the Me Too movement, have rethought how they looked at that. I think that this is also the case, when you think about Anita Hill. I mean, it has been really since 1991 and her testimony against then Supreme Court nominee Clarence Thomas that brought these issues of sexual harassment and a toxic and hostile work environment to light. And the truth is, it has now taken 30 years for these changes, I think, to become really kind of the new workplace norm, that this kind of behavior is unacceptable.
Time for one more caller at least. Tim is with us now in Eau Claire. Tim, hi.
Hi. So I'm part of a growing group of ethically non-monogamous people, particularly younger people. I'm actually in my mid-30s, so at the older range of a lot of this. And I'd like to run for office someday. But when people act in such a repugnant manner and are unethical about what they're doing, it just sours everyone about scandal. If they wanted scandal and I ran, I'd be full of scandal, but I'd be not scandalized by it.
Tim, thanks for the call. And I think that gets to, I mean, consensual non-monogamy has foiled presidential campaigns. I'm thinking Gary Hart here. Non-consensual behavior by Andrew Cuomo, it's still a question mark what it's going to do to him.
So let me just say that I think this is what I mean by expectations really matter. You know, I wrote my dissertation on scandals among incumbent members of the House of Representatives. And what was so clear was that, you know, at that time, essentially, and this was in the 80s and 90s that my data set sort of covered, it was really the Republicans who were more in trouble for sexual misconduct scandals, and Democrats who were more in trouble for financial misconduct scandals. And so I talked about that as really being an issue of hypocrisy, right? That the electorate was not pleased with Republicans talking about family values and then having extramarital affairs. They were not pleased with Democrats talking about helping the poor and then embezzling money. So it's really an issue of who are you and what do you say you are? And then the question is, what secret are you keeping? And if that secret is revealed, will it change the way we think about you and what your reputation is?
And that's where we'll leave it, Lara. Thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Lara Brown is an associate professor and director of the Graduate School of Political Management at George Washington University. We talked to her about sexual harassment claims against New York Governor Andrew Cuomo and growing calls for him to resign.